When Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, we think we understand right away what kingdom is. We think a kingdom is a geographic locale, a location. Probably the most famous kingdom right now is the Magic Kingdom, right? In Orlando, Florida. And you know where Disneyland is. You can look it up on Google Earth. You can look it up on a geo-positioning system, GPS. And it has borders, and you can't get in unless you buy a ticket. And you know exactly where everything is located. You know what is inside the Magic Kingdom and what is outside the Magic Kingdom. Or in terms of more geopolitical terms, the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom has borders. They can be drawn on a map. You can see where the United Kingdom begins and ends. You can find where the United Kingdom is. But Jesus uses the term about God's kingdom a little bit differently. And what Jesus means when he talks about God's kingdom is where and how God rules. Where and how God rules. We say it every Sunday in church. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Wherever that prayer is prayed, that is where God's kingdom exists. That kingdom is where God rules and acts. So it's not a kingdom that's limited or bounded by addresses and geography. It's not a kingdom that you can point to and say, well, this is in God's kingdom and this is out, because God rules over all of it. So wherever God's will is done, that's what Jesus means by the kingdom. Now, to skeptics, nothing has changed in the world. To skeptics, it's not all that important that we're worshiping on Sunday morning here at 3618 Hills Church Road. But to believers who believe in Jesus Christ and who accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior this morning, today, everything has changed. Not just because we are here and offering our praise to God, but today we saw the beginning of a new person's life, a new person's walk with God in baptism. Today we believe that everything has changed. And God's kingdom is a kingdom that rules over everywhere, that Ian isn't the only one baptized. There are hundreds of thousands of children who were baptized this morning in a church somewhere halfway around the world, in churches all over this great globe of ours. And Ian joins them in being a co-citizen of that kingdom. Ian joins them of being one who has been called into that kingdom. The image that Jesus uses to talk about the kingdom is one that we're all really familiar with, perhaps too familiar with, this mustard seed idea. And if you grew up in the church, you probably have the traditional understanding of the mustard seed like I do. It's pretty simple. The mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds in the field, and when it plants in the ground, it grows into a very overgrown bush and big enough that birds can nest in it. And that has been the long-time traditional understanding of the mustard seed, that God starts out with small, and then God moves to great. But people have looked at this in probably the last 20 years or so and said, that's true, but there's more to it than that. Why didn't Jesus use something like the parable from Ezekiel about the cedar? I mean, the pine cone seed is almost as small as the mustard seed, and the pine cone seed, when it goes into the ground, grows up into one of the tallest trees known to the Near East. Why didn't Jesus use that image? Why did Jesus use a mustard seed? And when you think about it, the mustard seed really isn't, it's a big bush, but it's not the biggest of all the bushes. Jesus could have used other images for the kingdom of God. And some people have said, you've got to keep both things in mind. You've got to keep this idea that God causes small to grow big. But the other thing about the mustard seed that's very interesting is that it tends to grow where you don't want it to. It's like a weed. It's something that if you throw the mustard seed out there someplace, it tends to grow in a place where you did not plant it or not want it. And that it is a big enough plant that birds like to build nests in it. And if any of you have backyard bird feeders, you know that birds are the most disgusting creatures in the world, right? They are a mess. They don't eat very cleanly. They are just, they're messy. They're very messy, and they can be a nuisance, right? They can be very difficult. Some birds attack other birds. Some of the bigger ones, thinking of blue jays, can be very difficult. What if Jesus meant, yeah, God starts small and then goes to big, but also the kingdom of God means that we're supposed to be a little bit of a nuisance. That we're supposed to be a little bit of a spoke in the wheel for how things normally go. That when people say, oh, nothing has changed, we're supposed to point to things that have changed, to new life that has been created, to new people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We're supposed to point to places where people have been fed because of the Christian church. 195 years, that'll be our anniversary next year. Think of how many thousands upon thousands of people have received ministry from this place. Think of how many thousands upon thousands of people went to bed with something in their belly because somebody at Emmanuel Church donated something, gave something, served at a soup kitchen, gave to the Westmoreland County Food Bank. And that's just recent history. Think about in many years gone past. We're supposed to be a nuisance. We're supposed to grow where we're not planted. We're supposed to take the kingdom of God out into places where people sometimes are surprised where we show up. I can remember several years ago, one of the things that was most interesting to me, the church I served before this one was a downtown city church. And one of the things that we decided we would do is we would go around to the neighborhood and knock on everybody's door and say, I'm relatively new to the area. I haven't met you yet. And maybe I could just introduce myself. And that was pretty much it. And we thought it would be pretty neat if we did it in the shadow of the church's steeple. So I could point, you know, when they open the door, I could say, that's the church I'm the pastor of. And so the one day I'm walking through the neighborhood and I stop at this one place and I knock on the door and the family opens up and several people didn't want to talk, which was fine. And many more people did. But this family opened up and they were so excited to see me. I've never met them before in my life. They were so excited to see me. Come on in, come on in. The only problem is, the only key is, they spoke Spanish and I don't. I speak English. And they didn't. So we sat and we had coffee. I don't know what we talked about. I have no idea what we were talking about. I was probably there for 15, 20 minutes. They knew I was from the church. We figured that out through sign language. But I have no idea what that moment was all about. I received such hospitality from this family. And you know what? They would say hi to me, hey! And I don't know what they would say. They would wave to me in the mornings when they would go to work or when I'd be walking across to the church. And it was a great moment. And that's sort of what the kingdom of God is like. You find in a place you do not expect it, that God welcomes you with open arms. There's a story I just recently heard told about a Chinese congregation in the 1930s. Chinese congregation that was founded by European missionaries. They sent two single women out to found this congregation. And they founded this congregation in northwest China, and they were energetic. They were the most wonderful women for this task. And a congregation did emerge there after 10 years of their work, yet it was all women. And there was resistance to this congregation from the community at large. And these two women went home rejected, dejected, because they said, we just couldn't find a good inroad there. We just couldn't find our way in. We tried and we tried and we tried. After they left, the Chinese took it over and they were spiritually moved by what they found there and the church exploded. What was the difference? The difference was sort of intangible. The two women worked mostly with women. Now this is 1930s China, remember. Mostly with women because in 1930s China, what happened in the morning at 7 o'clock, the men went out to the field or to the factory and were gone all day. So the women worked with other women. And in China, the family structure is such that there is something peculiar about you if you don't have a family. There's something peculiar if you don't identify yourself as having a family. We're in America, we think of individualists, right? The rugged individualist, the Marlboro man kind of thing. But in China, you're identified by who's your family, by who you're surrounding yourself with. So two women who went by themselves, people thought, that's kind of strange. That must mean their families don't really like them. Why would I want to join that church? But when the Chinese took over, it took off like a shot. Now, the thing that I think is most amazing about this story, most interesting to me about this story, is that these poor two women spent 10 years in that church, and they did a good job, and they were able to get women to come, but they didn't see it flourish the way they thought and hoped it would. Can you imagine doing something for 10 years and being a prep for somebody else? Take 10 years out of your life and being told, oh, that was just the preamble. That was just the start. That was just something, you know, that was a minor thing. These women spent 10 years laboring, blood, sweat, and tears, and they planted a seed the size of a mustard seed, and it took 10 years plus to see it grow to fruition. To human beings, that 10 years is terrible. That 10 years is a long time. You know, in 10 years, you can age a lot. A lot of things can start to go wrong in 10 years. But in God's eyes, 10 years is nothing. In God's timing, 10 years is nothing at all. Too often, we want things when we want it. Yet, the parable of the mustard seed tells us that God's kingdom is invisible and slow. It's like those time-lapse photography pictures that you see. We can't ever see plants grow. We just don't see it. Our eyes aren't trained for it. But if you have time-lapse photography, you can see the seed begin to sprout, and then the leaves to go out from there, and then the fruit, and on and on and on. So nothing good, nothing faithful, nothing important grows overnight. Not my faith. It certainly didn't grow overnight. Not the faith of Ian. Not the faith of any one of us. It takes weeks and months and years. And this is the moment. All we get is this moment. One slice at a time, your faith will grow. One slice at a time, your life will grow in God's hands. And I don't know what the next 195 years holds for Emmanuel Church. Nobody outside of God does. Yet the remarkable thing is that God will continue to give us gifts of love and tolerance and compassion, hope, joy, and faith, qualities and virtues that seem in little supply these days. And yet our challenge is to be Christians standing here and saying that we accept God's kingdom has arrived, and that we accept that we are citizens of God's kingdom, and we will witness to it this day and forever. Amen.